2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's read together now, please. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father, we do thank you for that gift, and we look forward to the preaching and teaching this morning of the Word of God about this gift. Lord, empower our pastor with thy Holy Spirit so that we'll get from you this morning what we need. God, help us. Father, then I pray if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know that unspeakable gift, that they would settle that and receive Christ as their Savior this morning before they leave this room. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, let me dispense to you very quickly the cell phone warning. This is more importantly for our guests and visitors. Our church folks know to come in, turn their cell phone to off or to vibrate. But to our guests, we want you to be aware of the fact that not only if it goes off do we hear it, but now in this holiday Christmas season, the fleas of 1,000 reindeer will infect you. And so we want you to be sure to be flealess. Help us with that, please, and make sure it's turned off or to vibrate. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, you ever wonder where the gift-giving thing came from at Christmas time? So yeah, Walmart, that's where it came from. The commercialization of Christmas, Pastor Johnson. Now, we'll decry all that stuff and give it what for later on in another time. But understand that the gift-giving concept, the idea of exchanging gifts at Christmas time, was born out of two things. First of all, when the wise men came from the east to see Jesus, the Bible said when they got to where Christ was, it wasn't at the manger. He was about 2 years old. The Bible says he was in a little house. But when they came to see Jesus, the Bible said they opened unto him their gifts, their treasures. So that time of rejoicing at the birth of Christ was a time of giving gifts. Secondly, giving gifts at Christmas comes from the idea, the understanding that God gave us a gift at Christmas time. The gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that he came was to give us the gift of eternal life. And that's what 2 Corinthians 9:14 is about here, 15 is about. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You don't have to exchange gifts at Christmas time. That is not a requirement. It's not in the Bible. It doesn't mean you don't celebrate Christmas. You're not even commanded in the Bible to celebrate Christmas. If you don't want to, you don't have to. It's not a requirement. It's not a holy day. December 25th is no more holy than December 24th or December 26th. The only unholy day is April 15th, and we know why that's the case. But other than that, there's no holy days. Every day is a holy day to a child of God. But understand this. Christmas time is a time for us to rejoice that God gave us the gift of his Son. And the reason that God gave us the gift of his Son was so Jesus would come and die on the cross to provide for us the gift of eternal life. Now, please, would you do this? Now, by the way, this will help you keep the Christmas spirit, the right kind of a Christmas spirit, throughout the Christmas season. While you're fighting the crowds and doing the stuff that people have to do at Christmas, and I don't fight crowds at Christmas time. I just don't do it. I do like every other man does. You wait till Christmas Eve, run out like a mad fool, buy a bunch of stuff, throw it in the car, and go home. But you get it over in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Whereas other people, we won't say which gender, other people will take months to buy Christmas gifts and go one place, buy something, go one place, buy something. Not us guys. Thank God for department stores that have all kinds of stuff in it. You can pretty much get it done in an hour, hour and a half, and that's if you have to buy for a lot of people. Other than that, it's pretty simple, and it gets run through and done. But the idea of gift-giving at Christmas time and the Christmas spirit is not to be jolly and happy. It's to remember God gave us an unspeakable gift. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, specifically here in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he's talking about the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. That gift, that unspeakable gift, is the gift of eternal life. Unspeakable in the Bible means indescribable. It means it's difficult to speak the words to say thank you for the gift of eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are saved this morning, you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. You're not going to have it. You have it right now. The only thing between us and eternal life today is this mortal flesh that holds us captive on this earth. Very soon we'll leave this mortal flesh behind and we'll enter into eternity, and there is eternal life awaiting us. Not eternity, just eternal life that lasts forever and forever and forever. How do you describe an unspeakable gift of eternal life? Why is it unspeakable? Because there are no words to properly describe it. You can't put it into human terms where the finite mind of man can comprehend something given them that they did not deserve that will last them forever. There'll never be a time frame in heaven. There'll never be a date in heaven. There'll never be a day in heaven. There is no day in heaven. It's eternity. It's forever. And it's life, ladies and gentlemen. It's not existence. People often ask, they say, well, what do you do in heaven forever? I'm wondering what you do forever in heaven. I don't know, to be honest with you. There are some things told us in the Bible that we do. In Revelation chapter 22, it says, His servants shall serve Him. God gives us some duties and responsibilities in heaven. Oh, great. We go to heaven and we work forever. Well, that depends on how you look at it. I look at my opportunity as a pastor as employment. I don't see it as my work. I see it as my opportunity to serve God. But you should see that too. If you go to an office and work, or you go get behind a steering wheel of a pickup truck, or you swing a hammer, or whatever it is you do to serve and provide for your own, you're serving your God, my friend. And that's service for the Lord. That's not a drudgery. That's not a burden. That's not something I regret. I hope you don't regret that. I hope you enjoy the fact. If you're retired and you put in your time and your work is now finished, and whatever retirement means anymore, I don't know what that means any longer. Most of our retired people work more now that they're retired than when they were working, for goodness sakes. But whatever the case may be, it's not a drudgery. To serve God in heaven means it means you get the opportunity to do forever what you enjoyed doing when you were in this life. I enjoy being a husband. I enjoy being a father. I really enjoy being a grandfather. That's a real kick. I never thought it'd be that great, but it's fantastic. I love being a grandfather. Matter of fact, as it often is said, I wish that I had my grandkids first. That was more fun than the other ones. But the truth is, I enjoy that. I just have a great time at that sort of thing. I like coming to work. I like going to the office. I like doing the work that I'm supposed to do. I enjoy that because you know why? Those things are my service to my God as well as to my family and my church and my community and those sorts of things. When we get to heaven, the Bible says His servants shall serve Him. Other than that, there's not a lot known about what we do forever in heaven. Eternal life. So we just float around in the clouds with long blonde hair, playing harps and sprinkles poof of dust on people. I mean, is that what we do? I know this, ladies and gentlemen, the God of heaven has eternity planned out for you. And it's eternal life. It's unspeakable. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I've seen some things in life before that defied definition. I even took pictures of it. I had the privilege to travel, do a little bit of travel in my life, and took pictures of things before because I thought, you know, I'm standing here looking at the Eiffel Tower in Paris and the Buckingham Palace in London and the Colosseum in Rome and the Savannah of Georgia. Been there too, as a matter of fact. I'll tell you what's great about Savannah, Georgia. Cracker Barrel. That's what's fantastic about Savannah, Georgia. Along the highway, about every 10 miles, there's a Cracker Barrel. Thanks be unto God. It's a holy land, brother. It's a holy land. But I'm talking about the Savannah of Africa, looking out across the golden plains and the little dotted acacia trees and herds of animals outstanding. I've seen some things that are just incredible to me. And I took pictures of it so I could remember it in my life because I thought, there are no words to describe this. Hey, this week there have been some incredible sunrises and sunsets that God has put out there. Every now and then you get out driving down through a street where the leaves of the trees are changing and a shaft of light goes down through there and there's Mount Shasta on the other end of that. That's a beautiful sight to behold. And sometimes you think, well, how would you describe that in words? Well, see, that's an unspeakable thing. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Eternal life. No words to describe that. This is the season where we remember that Jesus, God's gift to us, came so Jesus, God's gift to us, could provide for us the gift of eternal life. Why is this gift unspeakable, indescribable? Because of the love that's behind it. Have you ever been given a gift that was very expensive? A gift that meant a lot. A gift that behind that you knew they spent a lot of money on this particular gift. Years ago, somebody gave me a car. It wasn't a new car, but it was a car. I needed a car. I didn't ask for it. They just gave me this car. It was very kind. Unfortunately, it was a Ford. And I had nothing but trouble with that car. Nothing. The car knew I hated it. And so consequently, it did not want to function for me properly. But it was a gift. It was free. And then I did what everybody else does. I re-gifted. I sold it to somebody else. And got a car that would run. But I've been given. Have I ever been given a really super expensive gift? There were some things that were pretty impressive, to be honest with you. But to me, when I get to see my grandchildren down in the Bay Area, they usually draw me pictures. And you'll look at it, and there's this scriggly stick figure with a bulb on the belly, hair sticking up, one eye bigger than the other one, one arm fatter than the other one. And I always ask them, who's that? I know what the answer is. That's you, Gramps. And I look at the picture and I think, I need a day off. Wow. And as they get, when they're little, they're just all squiggles and everything else. They get a little older, they start to, make some shapes and figures out of that. Well, I got those up in my office. You see, the gift is special because of the love that's behind the gift. An unspeakable gift, that unspeakable gift of eternal life, God gave that to us because He loves us. Nobody ever loved you like God loves you. My favorite verse in the Bible is Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The reason we have the access, opportunity for the gift of eternal life is simply and purely because of the love of God that's behind the gift that was given. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, gift number one. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Gift number two. All because He loves you. That's why. That's why I don't understand people turning down salvation. I understand people turning down religion. I understand people turning down Christianity, and I put that in quotes today. I understand people turning down the church. I understand them turning down baptism. I understand turning down religion. I understand all of that. I don't understand coming to the foot of the cross, looking up and seeing the love of God nailed to a cross, beaten like an animal, tortured beyond reason and understanding, giving His life for us and all of it because He loved us, and then turn around and walk away. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I grew up in a drunkard's home, and I was, at times in my life, I've been forsaken by my own family and dumped off on relatives and things like that. When I heard God loved me, that's captured my heart ever since I was a boy. And it still captures my heart. I'm 58. This next year I'll be saved 50 years. And it still amazes me that God loves me. It's an unspeakable gift because of the love behind it. God loves you, friend. God sent Jesus. God loves you. God gives you the gift of eternal life. It's yours. It's available to you today because God loves you. Well, why does He love us, Pastor Johnson? I don't know. You'll have to ask God. He just decided to. And He decided to love every human being on this planet. That's why, listen now very carefully, that's why salvation is available to all. All do not have salvation. We do not believe in universal salvation. You have to come to Christ and receive the gift of eternal life as an individual. But the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, is available to everybody on this planet. That's unspeakable. You know why this gift is unspeakable, the gift of eternal life? Because of the lessons from this gift. Listen now. It's a gift. It is a gift. and a gift is given, not earned. You're not going to hand anyone a gift at Christmas time this year and have a receipt attached to it with a bill on the other side. These socks that I didn't want someone gave me 5 years ago are yours now, and I think they're worth $8.95. Please remit a check accordingly. Right? You're not going to attach a bill to any gift you give at Christmas, are you? Please tell me you're not going to do that. Shake your head like that now. Please tell me you're not going to do that. Please tell me that no gift that's given is a gift as long as it's given, unless it's given freely. Then it ceases to be a gift the moment something is expected in return. God gives us this unspeakable gift. That is a gift. See, it's unspeakable because there's such a simple lesson here. It's a gift that is given freely and must be received that way. It has to be a gift in the way it's given. It will stay a gift if I receive it like it was given. So you don't earn the gift of eternal life. It's not your good works. It's not your good life. It's not your membership. It's not your baptism. It's not your communion and confirmation. It's not your religion. It's not your philosophy. It's not you. It's Him. And the gift is given. You do not earn this gift. It's already paid for. That's what the bloody cross was all about. That's why Christ had to suffer like we spoke of at the Lord's table this morning. And the body of Christ had to be flesh torn and beaten like an animal till you couldn't even tell it was a human anymore. Then nailed publicly, naked, out in front of everybody. Oh, the shame of it all. And then to take the sin of all mankind and put it upon Jesus Christ. You and I cannot do anything that's equal to that. Nothing. Nothing can be done to earn the gift of eternal life. Oh, it's unspeakable because of the lessons that are drawn from this gift of eternal life. Eternal life must be received, not just believed in. We'll take the presents, wrap them, and put them under the trees. I remember as a kid getting an industrial razor blade. One edge, one-sided. Now listen, I did this. My little PJs with an industrial razor blade between my teeth, crawling on the floor at night, heading for the Christmas tree. I should have been in special ops when I was in the service. Because see, the light from the bathroom, when I lived with my grandparents, the light from the bathroom was down the hall this way, and their bedroom was at the other end of this hallway, and it cast this light down through the hallway. And when we first went to live with my grandparents, my grandfather would take his teeth out and put them in a peanut butter jar with water in it on the back of the commode at night. The first night I walked in there in the middle of the night, there was his teeth. Throwing a shadow with a set of teeth on the side of the wall. I had to change my pajamas. But anyway, so the light shone down the hallway, and if I left my room to step out across the hallway, they'd see that and catch me. So I'd get down on my stomach and crawl on the ground with a razor blade between my teeth, get over to the tree and just cut the tape just a little bit and pull it back to try and see what gifts I had. And my brother would say, "Tell me what I got too." So you get your own razor blade. I'm risking my life over here to get into this press, get into the tree. You know how foolish that would be to look in there and see a gift you had coming. Christmas Day comes and you go, "Nah, don't really care for it." Or just leave your presents wrapped under the tree and leave them there. You could believe all you want to that that's your gift, but if you don't receive it, it means nothing to you. That's why salvation is not, there is no universal salvation. God understands and gives everybody the gift of eternal life. Wrong, wrong. Oh my soul, these preachers who murder the gift of God. Because they're so politically correct, they can't tell people you have the opportunity of eternal life, but you must come to Christ to receive it. It's not yours till you receive the gift of eternal life. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You have to receive the gift of eternal life. It's unspeakable. Well, Pastor, why doesn't He just give it to everybody? Because God decided that everyone could have access, but each of us must come individually to Christ on our own. And that's why your salvation testimony better be your testimony and not your religion's testimony, and not something written on a piece of paper, and not something you can't remember. You should know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. These great lessons make this gift unspeakable because it is available for everybody. God doesn't limit who can come to to salvation in Christ. God only limits those who reject it. But that's their doing, not God's. I spoke with someone yesterday and pled with them about their soul. Well, I just can't see it like that. My dear friend, you must see it that way. Please, please accept Christ as your Savior. And they rejected it. Not unkindly, not rudely, but just simply said, no, I just can't see it that way. The only ones who will not have the gift of eternal life are those who reject it. But anyone can receive Christ, the whosoever of the Bible. What a great thought. One word, God settles all this stuff. And anybody can come to Christ. You know why the gift's unspeakable? Because of the longevity of the gift. 2,000 years later, it's still a gift. Hey, God has not changed his mind about what eternal life is. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Seems like people change their mind about things after a while, yes? We get an election here, they change their mind about every week. And the bad thing about this day and age in which we live, if you said it 20 years ago, somebody knows it. I mean, look at me. My grits are cooked. Everything we do here is recorded. If I change 10 years from now, you better pull up some of these old sermons and say, that's not what you preached 10 years ago. Now I'm on YouTube. The Thanksgiving meal is on YouTube. Somebody told me the other day, I looked it up, I'm on YouTube. I thought, what? What is that? I don't even get any money off of that. It's on YouTube. God's never going to change his mind that the eternal life is a gift. Never. Because God said, I am God, I change not. So he's not going to come in another, listen now, he's not going to come in another dispensation and say, well, now it's by works. No, 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 no. It was a gift in Genesis. It's a gift in Revelation. It's a gift in between that. It's a gift when he decided it. It's a gift when Christ paid for it. It's a gift after he rose from the dead. It's been a gift for 2,000 years and 10,000 years from now. It'll still be a gift. God's gift has not changed the longevity of that gift. And listen now, listen. And the amazing thing about the gift of God that is eternal life is that it has remained a gift in respect to the security of that gift. Since I did not earn it, to receive it, I cannot give it up because of how I live. My life does not affect the gift. The gift was paid for and given to me. You've all bought things for children before. That bicycle they had to have and you got it for them for Christmas. New Year's Day, it's out there in the snow. What do you tell them? Don't, listen, I bought you that bicycle. Don't you know how to take care of things that I gave it to you? Do you take it back? You wash it down, take it back to Kmart and give them back their bicycle? No, it's a gift. Once you give somebody, it's a gift. It's a gift. That's it. It's theirs to do whatever they want to, but it doesn't change. Listen, it doesn't change the fact that you gave it and they received it. It doesn't change. The gift doesn't change. So my life doesn't change the gift of eternal life. Well, then that means I can live any way I want. Now, you know God's not that foolish. God will hold you responsible for the gift he has given you, but he does not remove the gift. Once saved, always saved. It's a gift. Kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time, sealed with the Holy Spirit, I promise. It's a gift. The longevity is unspeakable. I didn't deserve the gift of eternal life, and now I cannot undeserve it. Pardon the bad English. I can't give it away. I couldn't give it away if I wanted to. If I got so foolish as I was to say, I don't even want to be a Christian, it wouldn't matter to God because he gave me a gift I did not deserve. And if you honestly received it, he will never take it back from you. And let me say this also, by the way. And if you honestly received it, you'd never say that anyway. You wouldn't turn your back on someone who loved you so much he gave you eternal life. You wouldn't just say, I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. You wouldn't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I know someone who did, Pastor Johnson. I questioned their salvation. I questioned whether they ever received the gift I received. I spent 10 years out of the will of God in my life, but I never denied Christ. I never told anybody I wasn't a Christian. I was never ashamed of him. I was ashamed of my living, but I wasn't ashamed of his giving. It's unspeakable because this gift has such longevity because it keeps giving to me. Isn't it wonderful when you think about the fact that I'm saved? I have eternal life. and I'm going to heaven. And God made me a new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And now the Bible becomes an open book to me, because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned. But now, for a saved person, we can understand this book God gave us. Now I know I have a plan for my life I didn't know I had before. And now there's purpose and reason to live. Now there's a peace of God that passeth all understanding, that'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And there's the provision of God and the blessings of God and the promise of God. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. It's unspeakable, because I have eternal. By the way, if all he gave us was eternal life, that ought to be enough. That ought to be enough to get you so Baptist happy you even smile once or twice in church. Just realizing you have eternal life, that ought to be enough. Just the fact that I'm forgiven and not going to hell, that ought to be enough. If there was nothing but the grave at the end of this life, but at least it wasn't hellfire and damnation forever, that would be enough. But there's so much more than that, because it's a gift that just keeps on giving. All the things the Bible calls in Isaiah chapter 12, we draw from the wells of salvation. You can't get to the bottom of that well. You can't draw enough out of that. There's more to the fact that you have eternal life than you and I could comprehend in our own thinking and understanding. If you spent all your theological study and training studying the doctrine of salvation, you couldn't wear it out, because you'd learn more and more and more and more. Listen to me. You have eternal life. And you know what else? You're a child of God. Did you know you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and Jesus has it all when it's over? Do you realize? It's amazing to me. One gift that opens up so much more in our lives. It's unspeakable. I know it doesn't excite a lot of Christians, especially who've been saved for a while. It doesn't excite a lot of Christians to think about their salvation and eternal life. To be honest with you, the more I think about it, the more I'm amazed at the amazing grace of God, and I'm amazed at this unspeakable gift. When my grandparents came here, when used to be Central Valley, when I lived there as a boy in a drunkard's home, my grandparents came to pick my brother and I up, take us out of that drunkard's home to their place, the godly people. We had gone to spend some time with them before. Leaving a drunkard's home where people fight every night and are drunk all the time, and go to a home where people are Christians and act like it. To us, it was like heaven. Wherever that old house is, I'm sure it's gone by now. There was a big picture window in the front room, and our old broken down couch was in front of that window. Our mom came to us and said, "You boys are going to go live with your grandparents now. It's just not good here anymore." It hadn't been good for a long time. We had a little suitcase, and we got down on our knees on the couch looking out that window up the little dirt road where our grandparents would come. My brother Jack's 2 years older than I am. That night when we went to bed, she told us that. We lay there at night and he said, "Can you believe it? We're going to go live with the grandfolks. Can't believe it. Can't believe it." I said, "I know, we're going to stay there now." When they pulled up in the driveway, we were just boys. We didn't understand how much it broke our mother's heart. We jumped out and ran out to the car. I don't know as I even said goodbye to my mother. I wasn't mad at her. Just they got drunk and fought that night before we left. They got drunk and fought again. And I was so glad. I didn't even care if we took a stitch of clothes or a sock, nothing. Just let me get in that car and go to somewhere that's normal, where people live like people. As we're driving to the house, our grandparents started talking to us about, "Well, we fixed up the room where you've been staying. We put some beds in there now, and that's where you'll stay. And you can stay as long as you want." You know, they took us and they bought us some clothes for school. First time I remember going to a store and buying clothes, getting clothes purchased for me. And we go to bed at night, and it was just so quiet in that house. With the exception of me crawling on the floor at Christmas time, pretty quiet. Day after day after day, my brother and I would say, "Can you believe we live here now? We live here." And their gift just kept on giving to us in our lives. still giving. God's gift of eternal life never stops giving. There's no way to describe it all to you today. There's no way to put it all in words. Then the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and we're caught up together and we meet the Lord in the air. Or we part from this life by death, and the next breath we draw is eternity and heaven, the presence of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our loved ones that are saved have gone before us. They're waiting for us now. It's a grand reunion. It's an eternal thing, all because of the unspeakable gift of eternal life. All you moms who said goodbye from children from your womb that you never held, you'll see them in heaven again. It's unspeakable. It's the longevity of this gift. It is eternity. Now then, number one, do you have this gift? And are you sure? Number two, if you have it, don't you think it's time to re-gift? We first got married, people gave us all kinds of stuff. Usually what happens is they give you toasters or blenders. We had enough to open a small appliance store. But what it did was it provided for us re-gifting opportunities. And we were giving out toasters and blenders for a while after we got married. But your gift, that gift of eternal life you have, how dare you keep it to yourself? It's wrong for a child of God to have eternal life and not tell someone else about that. Because it's a gift that does keep on giving. If you share that with someone else and tell them about Christ and salvation. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Our heads bowed and eyes closed.